We should have been following these all our lives, and then one can come to devotional service. But we were not. So we require to follow these regulative principles and act piously. When we begin in Krishna consciousness, we follow the principles of religion, the regulations, and we conquer sinful reactions. Then you can accept devotional service and gradually rise. Sometimes it's said to be a devotee is not such an easy thing. We are trying to be devotees. We consider like that. We're not devotees, but we're trying to become devotees. We're trying to reach the stage where we can engage in pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anukul yena krishnano shilanam bhaktarutama. Pure devotional service means no desire for fruitive activities and speculation, impersonal speculation. Continuing in the purport. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees, for in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2 that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat sevam dvaram ahur vimukte. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of ignorance. Tmo dvaram yoshitam sangisangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in his transcendental loving service with determination. The one who engages in devotional service, also the other point is that he immediately eradicates all sinful reactions. And by engaging in devotional service, he at once is engaging in completely pious activities. All sinful reactions eradicated, and he's acted piously. The fact that he's engaged in devotional service means he's already acted piously in previous lives. And as far as this life, because he's engaged in devotional service, punya shravana kirtana. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityang bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Srinvata svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridayan taksto yubhadrani vidinoti suratitam. Because he's engaged in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, satam prasanga mama virya samvido, therefore he's become purified. He's become pious. All the impure things are already destroyed in the heart. Almost to nil. If he regularly is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, his impurities, abhadrani, are being destroyed almost to nil. So that's what it means. In other words, one who's engaged in devotional service, he is free. This is the proof. The proof is that if he's engaged in devotional service, it means he must be free from all the reactions. And he's acted piously in previous lives, and now he's acting piously in this life, even though he may have committed some sinful activities before. Continuing, text 29. Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Yes. Only the intelligent persons take refuge in devotional service. If one engages in devotional service, he's intelligent. You say, well, what about his IQ? What if his IQ is only 87? Doesn't matter what the IQ is. If he's engaged in devotional service, he's the most intelligent. Chatura. Otherwise, because how could he be engaging in devotional service? You may say, well, he's just following along, brainwashed. Whatever you call it. But he's getting the ultimate reward. He will get, you may say, well, he's not intelligent. But then, if he's engaged in devotional service, he knows that he's not the body. He knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows that he should offer obeisances to Krishna. He's only eating prasadam. He's associating with devotees. How can you say he's not intelligent? He's not going to bars. He's not watching television. He's not taking intoxication. He's intelligent. Otherwise, why would he do these things? He's eating prasadam. Now, what's better food to eat than prasadam? Can you find any better food? Well, macrobiotic? No. Still, there's karmic reactions. But prasadam is transcendental. So he's getting free from all reactions. He's the healthiest. He's associating with the most intelligent people. The devotees are the most intelligent because they know Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayogita Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayurahaitukam. They know what the real purpose of life is. If you ask a devotee, what's the purpose of life? He said, surrender to Krishna, develop love for Krishna, prema pumartha mahan, and to go back to home, back to Godhead. That's intelligent. It's not intelligent to stay in the forest fire and burn, reading your library books and your newspapers and your scientific theories, burning up. That's your intelligence. Does anyone have any questions about this? Anyone think that the devotees are not the most intelligent? Well, yes. Until one becomes completely advanced, then sometimes he may show some of his former symptoms, which are not very intelligent. We still have some residue left over from our past unintelligent days. Some symptoms. But those will go away. Those will gradually be eliminated as one continues in devotional service. And then less and less will he act according to his past unintelligent. Yes, as soon as we act on the bodily platform, that's unintelligent. As soon as we make these kinds of considerations. But that will go away. Just like if a man is taking a bath, he's very dirty. So if you point out, oh look, he's still got he's dirt. He's got dirt there. Yes, he's got dirt, but he's cleaning. He's in the bath. So just wait a little bit and he'll be completely clean. Yes, because he's not fully Krishna conscious yet, so he'll make some unintelligent things like that. But again, he's getting clean. So it's not necessary to point out the deficiency, because after all, he's taking the... If his person's dirty, but he's washing, then why point out that he's dirty? He knows he's dirty, that's why he's washing. Or a person's sick and he's in the hospital taking treatment, you say, you know, you're really sick. But he knows he's sick. That's why he's in the hospital. All right? But still he's intelligent because he's in the hospital. He's getting rid of the disease. Now someone else who's not in the hospital, who thinks, I'm in good shape, but he's sick. He's less intelligent because he doesn't go to the to get treatment. At least we're getting treatment. All right? 30. Those in full consciousness of me who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods, and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. Yes, we have to know what Krishna's position is. Krishna is not just another one of the gods. He's Devadeva Jagatpate. He's the Lord of all the lords, all the god, demigods. He's above all of them. Aham Mahadir Hidevanam, Krishna says. He's the source of all the demigods. They all admit that. Brahma is the first demigod. And Brahma admits Sarvakarna Karnam, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He admits that he comes from Vishnu, and from Brahma comes Shiva and many other demigods, such as, you know, the sun god and different demigods, and from the sun god, and there are so many other demigods from the different sages, Brahma's sons, the Prajapatis, they create so many. It's like Kardama Muni and so many. So how can you say the demigods don't come from Krishna? He's the source of Brahma. Questions on that? Okay. Text 1, chapter 8. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. 2. Who is the Lord of sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudana? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and his eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruit of activities. It is said that true eloquence is the ability to speak the perfect absolute truth in a very small number of words. And Krishna is truly eloquent. He answers all these questions in just a few words. This is the standard knowledge. When Krishna speaks, that becomes the standard. There's no other standard. Mattak paratarananya, kincharasti dananjaya. There's nothing above Krishna. It's not like there's any scripture that supersedes him. If there's ever any apparent contradiction in the statements of scriptures, ultimately then Krishna's word has to be taken as final authority, final judge. Even amongst, sometimes there's competition. Someone says, my scripture is better than your scripture. Tarko pratishta shrutayo vibhinna asavrishir yasyamatam nabhinnam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhaya mahajana yena katasapanta. Mahajana means the great souls. So who's a greater soul than Krishna? That's where we're supposed to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. And the great souls, they all follow Krishna. Text 4. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called Adiputa, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called Adidaiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the super soul in the heart of every living, every embodied being, am called Adiyagya, the Lord of Sacrifice. And whoever at the time of, at the end of his life, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So remembering Krishna at the time of leaving the body, that's a crucial time. Ante Narayana Smriti. It's the test of one's activities throughout his life, what he does at the end. Just like you could say, the test of flying someplace is what you do when you get off the plane. Let's say you fly all the way there, and instead of walking down the stairs, you jump off head first and you die. And what was the use in flying all that way? You wasted the whole, right? The whole trip was a waste. So the test is what you do when you get off the plane. So similarly, the test is what do you do when you're having to get out of this body? That's the test. You lived your whole life. Now what? What are you going to do next? Well, that will depend on what your desires are at the time of leaving the body. If you desire to come back in another human body, then you have to come back in another human body. If you desire to become a demigod, you have to become a demigod. If you desire to live with the ghosts and spirits, you want to be one of them, then you have to become one of them. If you desire to be a dog, no responsibilities. You know, no, you don't have to worry about all the formalities. Then you become a dog. And if you want to serve Krishna, then you get to go to the spiritual world and serve Krishna. Therefore, that culmination of your consciousness is very important. And every moment is important. Because every moment could be the last moment. And therefore, whatever consciousness we've developed, that will take us to the next situation. Any questions? Antakali, at the end of life, one remembers me. So remembering Krishna, he helps the devotee to remember him who's been trying. God helps those who help themselves. So if Krishna sees that someone has been trying throughout his life, or at least the last portion, chanting and trying to remember, then Krishna helps him. Because after all, Krishna is the Lord of the mind. And so he can adjust, and he's super soul. He's in the heart of every living entity. He's helping them. Prabhupada says in the purport, therefore one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, Tarariva Sahishnina. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, and one of the impediments may be to live with devotees, or one of the difficulties. Tolerating all the living with devotees, it may seem impossible. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I have to live in this community. So, but still we have to tolerate. That's what it means. Because at least by living with devotees, we'll be able to go on chanting Hare Krishna. And if you live with non-devotees, I was speaking with someone today who's not living with devotees, and he admitted it's very difficult to chant. How will you? It's so difficult. You get up early, and you start chanting, and then you start, and somebody might say, quiet, be quiet. And you have to chant very softly, and it's difficult. But by living in the association of devotees, chanting Hare Krishna becomes very easy. That's the advantage. Okay, then text 6, similar. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. This is quite reasonable. That what's your last desire? At the last stage, you get your choice. Where do you want to go? Like if you're at the airport. Let's say you work so hard to get to the airport, you have your money, and well, now the question is, where will you buy your ticket? You can go anywhere you want if you're at the airport and you have the money. So at the time of death, everyone gets a choice. Where do you want to go now? And a devotee, he knows how to answer that question. Krishna. Oh, are you sure you don't want, there's nothing you didn't get to do in the material world that you still like to do? Maybe you'd like to ski down the Alps or something? Yeah, I would. Okay, come back. Ski down the Alps. What about, you'd like to visit some of the demigods' planets? Yeah, I'd like to do it. Okay, do that. Therefore, a devotee, he says, no, no demigods' planets. No skiing down the Alps. No, I just want to go back to Krishna. I'm finished. I've had it. No more. Nothing more here I want. What about the beautiful women? You still want that? If you do, there's so many opportunities. But a devotee, his consciousness goes beyond that. He realizes, what is this beautiful women? What is this idea? I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. And the so-called beautiful woman is also not the body. He's also a spirit soul. So why am I lusting after some body that's not even the person? If you say that you like the body so much, what happens when the person dies? There's so many beautiful girls that die every day, but nobody's interested in those bodies anymore. Why not? Because the soul's the attractive feature. And the soul is attractive because it's part of Krishna. And so if why take part? Why not take the full? Why just take this little soul that's only got a little tiny, tiny bit of attraction? Why not take Krishna who has all the attraction? Then you'll be satisfied. Take 7. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Yes. Krishna is saying, think of me. Not think of some impersonal concept. No, think of me personally, Krishna says. It's better than meditating on the void. Sometimes nowadays, people say yes. If you ask them, so how will you meditate on God? Well, yeah, you can't meditate on God because he's void or he's impersonal. But no, Krishna is standing right there before Arjuna with his lotus eyes and his peacock feather and his, he wears a yellow dress, yellow silk dress, and he has kastuba gem, and he has garlands, Vajayanti garlands, and his bluish complexion, like the color of a fresh rain cloud, and blackish, bluish hair. This is Krishna. Nice decorations, reddish parts on different. That's the form that one should meditate on. This is Krishna's instruction to Arjuna. Any questions? Chant Hare Krishna. So if you chant, then... No, when you chant, then you're thinking of Krishna. Krishna is his name. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Binadvam Nami Namino. Krishna and his name are non-different. So if you chant, then you're thinking of Krishna. And all that unwanted all those unwanted dirt and filth in the heart, it gets cleared away. Chaito darpana marja. But Prabhupada said in the previous verse, one should chant incessantly. We have a lot of dirt to clean out. It's not just a little bit of dirt. It's like cleaning coal. Cleaning our hearts is, you know what coal is? Can you imagine cleaning coal? How frustrating that would be, and cleaning. I've been cleaning this coal. It's still quite dirty. Coal miner, yes. So you know about coal. Yes? It's the same. Always? I don't think it's the chanting. I think it's the crazy mind, and I don't think it's the chanting that brings about the craziness. No, the craziness is already there. Maybe when you're chanting, then you become more aware of your craziness, because if you, the mercy of the chanting, then you realize, man, my mind is crazy. But chanting, no, it purifies. But we have to hear Hare Krishna. In Krishna's name, we have to concentrate on the syllables. Hare Krishna, 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 32. Okay? 32 syllables, chant. If you hear, fix the mind on the sound vibration. You don't have to think about everything else. How you're going to take over the world. Just let Krishna do all the magic. Krishna will do the magic. You just concentrate on His name. He has both. You need to have a balanced view. On one hand, we have to know that we are in the shower and we are getting clean. At the same time, we have to see all the dirt that's still on our body. Both. You can't just say, I'm getting clean, and then don't worry about cleaning more. And on the other hand, if you just say, I'm so dirty, and I'll never get clean, no, that's not good either. So you have to have a balanced view. In other words, we should see where we came from, what I was doing before. Who was it? Yeah, someone was telling me today that he considered that he can see clearly where I was before and where I am now. I'm definitely better off. I'm definitely in a more pure condition. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. I've still got a long way to go, but I've made some advancement. So that's good. Just like when you're driving from California to New York. Well, if you come to Kansas, you know you're about halfway. It's good to know you're halfway. Otherwise, you might get frustrated. You never see any signs. You think, well, I don't know if I'm getting there. So the signs are there. As you become free from these material desires, as you get some knowledge, as you become happy, as you, things like that. These are good indications. Okay. An elephant, after he takes a bath, he throws dirt all over himself. And the example is, if you chant Hare Krishna, and then you again commit sinful activities. That's the example. He was what? Yeah, Arjuna asked that question. How does this self-realized person speak? How does he walk? How does he sit? What does he do? Well, everything is in relationship with Krishna, and everything is sublime, like Prabhupada. Everything that Prabhupada said is sublime, and that's why no matter how many... Now we have all these books by Prabhupada, then we have all of his letters, and we have all of his conversations, and all of his lectures. We find that they're all blissful. There's no statements that he made that wasn't delightful. And why is that? Why do we want to hear what every Prabhupada said? Because he's a pure devotee. One who's fully absorbed, that means whatever he speaks will be divine. Whatever he speaks will be divine. He won't say anything nonsense. Like you'll never hear Prabhupada speaking some nonsense on some lecture. Uh-oh, we can't use that one because that's all nonsense. No. You never hear Prabhupada's lectures. They're always transcendental, always Krishna conscious. Yeah, so what's the point? Well, it is true that we aren't the body. There's no hard and fast rules, but the point is that he might be saying that for others' benefit. He might be pointing it out to them so that they'll understand. If you listen to Prabhupada, how he spoke, then you'll understand. But good idea to try to listen to the conversations and lectures. Then you'll see how the perfect person speaks. Because, for example, okay, along the lines of what you're asking. Whoops. Next time we'll talk about it. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Ki Jai.